Ooh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Love you. Thank you, Lord. In about 2 weeks, I'm in charge of, I'm the president of the Cowboy Ministers Network, which is ministers, and they're just not all just cowboys. Most of them are, you know, in the Western world. And what does he want to preach? He's like, I don't want to leave. It's fun up here. Amen. It's neat to see kids like that, and they, you know, they just love, you know, growing up this way is a fantastic life. And so I'm honored. Okay, where was I? At the conference in a couple of weeks, there's you know, several of us are going to minister, and there'll be, you know, a few hundred show up from all over the country. And a conference is just to get us all fed. And so I'm in charge of it. And the reason that I want to teach about finances is it's because I believe that the church, how many of you know this building is not the church? We are the church. And I believe that the church is the ones that should own all the businesses around. And that's why, you know, I'm excited about Organica water. I mean, the most natural water that God could make. Any good farmer will tell you that they want to see rain. And it's better for the crops. And so, if I can just make the stuff a lot faster, oh man. And I know you see it outside, but I'm going to introduce it to ministers at the conference, because again, it's time that we finance the kingdom. And we're not trying to beg. That's why I'm not going to beg for money. I told the Lord a long time ago, if you called me to this ministry, then you're going to have to provide, sir, because I'm not doing gimmicks. But any open doors, I'm going to go through them. And so a premium water that is the only healthy natural water that has no additives. And I know we can't compete against the $4 or $5 water that's tap water. I mean, it's just tap water, y'all. Man, it's amazing what you learn when you start talking about water and what you drink. And every single water besides ours is purified in some way, which means they have to add. And a lot of times they got to add for the taste. And so I'm going to introduce it at the minister's conference for churches just like this one. It's amazing how much water that we just buy ourselves. And I just put this water in 11 grocery stores around West Texas. And so we just need to make it faster. And so be believing God with us that it just continues. I know what's going to happen. Anytime you are certified organically, naturally harvested, oh, here they come. They want everything organic. Well, it is, because nothing's added to it and never touches the ground. And so be praying for that. And that's why we need to own these businesses. And so let God open doors in your life to be the owners, and a huge blessing will keep financing this kingdom. Amen. Everything we do here is debt free. So keep that. We need to keep that up. All right. Ready? Big round of applause for Kids Church Dismissed and the youth group out the back end. If you're a youth or you're a kid, you're going to have a blast. You get to go to Kids Church and be around your friends, and if you're a youth, 18, you're in high school, on down to about 13, then you're 12, you're part of the youth group, and they go and have a good time as well. Amen. All right, everybody that's still here, there's a lot of kids. I want you to turn, and I've got to figure out where I'm going to start today. because these ministers that have been ministering after me have been preaching some of my messages. We talked about that. And so, okay, let's start in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, bring your word. Bring that word with you, okay? Start making a habit to have that Bible with you at all times, at least in the truck. That's why we have paperback cowboy Bibles, so you can throw on the dash of your truck, because all of us know that the Word of God is our protection. It's our sword. I told the group yesterday in Jordanton, it's right just right down from Pleasanton in south below San Antonio, that fear cannot be a part of your life. I can't tell you how many people, just by saying and talking about fear, how many of those barrel racing ladies would come up to me and said, "Wow, it seems like every time I get on my horse, I just have fear about going into the alley. Is he going to go, or is he going to give me trouble? Is he going to turn the first barrel? And when he does turn the first barrel, am I going to stay on the horse?" Because I don't know if y'all understand barrels, but you're, and I was so excited because my daughter won a barrel race, and a big one on Saturday. And that's a, with hundreds of other women and men, by the way, amazing that just to win a barrel race is a great feat. And I told them, because a lot of times barrels, you're going as fast as you can down an alley. At our arena, we have a long alley. And then there's a timer on that side, and it's a timer system that when you break the plane of it, it starts a time clock. And you're going as fast as you can on what primarily is a racehorse that has hopefully a little bit of control. And going fast to that first barrel, there's a lot of opportunities for fear to come in, that the horse is going to turn the first barrel and then do it correctly. And when it turns, ooh, man, the G-forces of, you know, going from this speed to turning something is, you better be a good horseman. And we have great horsemen that's made the national finals, like Kathy and in the barrel racing. But they came to me and there's just lots of fear of, what if they hit a barrel? And that's a 5-second penalty in the barrel racing. And fear is a big part of the enemy that he uses against us to defeat us. Because the opposite of fear is how we are really supposed to live as Christians, called faith. Faith. And I'm a faith man. But if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're a faith person as well. And you should call it an honor to be called a faith person. Because you cannot believe in God without faith. Because again, you can't see Him. You can see His creation. You can see the results of God, like trees, etc. But we cannot see the Father, and we cannot see the Son. And we really can't, see the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is the third of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We can't see it. So by faith, Morris, we've got to believe that it's real, that it's truth. Now, we do have the Word of God, but it's still going to take faith for you to believe this thing. But I'm telling you, if you just believe it, then all things are possible to him that believes. And so be a believer. The reason people don't get healed in some churches and you don't see the manifestations is because they don't believe in it. They've convinced themselves that God doesn't heal everyone, and he only healed the woman with the issue of blood when Jesus was walking. He only opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes just because Jesus was there at the time, maybe. Or he just left, or, I mean, the disciples were touching Jesus. I mean, if you would just believe it, it would start happening in this church. And so that's why 2 weeks ago I began to minister, or three, on getting back to the basics. And the basics are faith. And if we go back to the basics of how we believe as a Christian, we'll start seeing the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, the demonstrations of God healing the sick, raising the dead, etc. Did you know they still raise the dead deep down in Mexico? I mean, there's still people that haven't even heard of Jesus being raised from the dead like Lazarus. And in our little minds, we're like, no way. How can that happen? I'll never forget when the little girl, and most of us, I've told this story before, but most of us, it was around Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, and he was ministering in Australia, and he was preaching about faith. He was preaching how the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, remember, now faith, it's not now, comma, faith, it's now faith. Faith can be right now. Or it can be a process of getting some stuff out of your mind, like doubting and fears and unbeliefs that we might have been raised in. And God's got to get those out and implanted or changed with the true Word of God, which is able to make us free. You see. So there's now faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So he's preaching this in Australia, and a little girl, remember, childlike faith. They haven't been tampered with, and they haven't gotten all kinds of doctrines put into their minds, not when they're young. All she did was sit in an audience and hear how God, by His stripes, will heal you. Mark chapter 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And she heard this coming in her ears. So she went to Glenn after the meeting and she said, my dog only has 3 legs and I want you to pray for him to get the 4th leg. Think about that. I mean, we've been so conditioned just to accept the dog with 3 legs. That's just part of life. He lost it somehow. He's got 3 legs. But here, childlike faith, now faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, she's just saying, hey, you said that the Bible said that by Jesus' stripes, that beating he took by the cat of 9 tails, remember? 39 lashes, it sliced Jesus open. It striped him. By his stripes, you said, we're healed. And I want you to pray for this dog to get the 4th leg. Yeah, he don't have it. Of course, being a minister and living in such a carnal world full of doubt and unbelief, he's like, oh, Jesus. And he sent her on, okay, I'll pray. And she came back and said, would you pray for my dog? He sent her on again. Yeah, I'll pray. And finally, he said, okay, Jesus, you better show up here because I'm going to look stupid. And he said, all right, bring that dog here. And he did what the Bible says. He laid hands on that dog and he shut his eyes. You know, his mind was full of doubt, but his heart was full of faith. Now, listen to me. God is so cool that all of the people in Australia where Glenn did not live knew this dog. And thank God that they wasn't by themselves. Nope, they were in front of everybody. And Glenn laid his hands on that dog and said, Father, by the power of you and in the name that's above every name, Jesus, not in the name of some church, not in the name of some preacher, in the name that's above all names, Jesus. Father, you begin, I thank you, Lord, that you would just grow this leg back. And he was just, I mean, he was in prayer, had his eyes closed, and all of a sudden he started hearing the people, oh, wow. And he didn't even know the dog got up. And I'm telling you, in front of all those people, God put a fourth leg on that dog. Now, in our minds, we're like, there ain't no way. Yeah, there's no way if you don't believe how powerful our God is. That's why you don't see the manifestations of people getting healed in our churches today, because, man, we're not believing how powerful our God is. But when you get back to the basics, I mean, I can tell the stories over and over of the people that's been healed in our ministry over the years. Yeah, and I want it every single day, and you always wonder, well, why God healed that one and not this one? But I've never doubted God's sovereign power to heal all. I think it just has to do with you and I, not God, because He's in the business of healing, praise God. All you got to do is get that faith up and understand that God's a now faith person. He's wanting you to believe Him. I'm not talking about getting kooky and all crazy in the kingdom of God. I'm just simply saying that if a doctor tells you you're dying of some cancer and you've only got 4 months to live, why don't you start believing the true word of God and start believing in the great physician who wants to heal you, praise God. All we've got to do is get convinced that the word of God is real and it's powerful. So we've got to get back to the basics of believing. Believing. I know we can spend lots of time on why does one get sick and one doesn't. Well, we can spend a lot of time on, okay, how much sleep have you gotten? What do you eat? And all those things that can get us all in guilt and condemnation, instead of just understanding that, by golly, when they diagnosed me with Crohn's disease, I looked at the doctor and says, no, thank you, I don't receive it. He'd just taken out 16 inches of intestine and a little bit of the colon. And here I am waking up from anesthesia saying to an educated doctor with a 3-year college, junior college degree that I didn't want to accept his report of me having a disease called Crohn's, because it was the fact that I had Crohn's. He diagnosed me with the fact that I had Crohn's. But the fact is not the truth. The truth is what the Word of God says, and if I'm going to believe it. I decided 20 plus years ago that I was going to believe what the Bible says more than the fact. And ladies and gentlemen, when they told me I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life, if I didn't take it, they would keep taking out intestine until I died. You know what I decided? No, thank you. I don't receive that. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. The truth of the Word of God then overrode the fact, and I was healed by the power of God and have never taken one pill. Okay, but listen to me. If God did it for me, and He's no respecter of persons, He doesn't show favors. He don't like Billy Graham when he was still living more than He loves me or you, or He's showing favoritism. But our Bible says God's no respecter of persons. So if He did it for me, He's got to do it for you. If He did it, if He healed the blind woman or the blind man, or if He healed the woman with blood problems, or if He healed the man that they dropped in from the roof, if He healed them, then He's got to heal us. All we've got to do is get tapped into the Word of God, get back to the basics of believing by faith, and see the manifestations of God. And you may have to say it over and over and over and over and over. Father, thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Yeah, but I don't feel healed. Yeah, but you're not moved by your feelings. You're not moved by what you see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. You know what you're moved by? What does the Bible say? And the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. All you've got to do is start believing it. And stop listening to all the junk of, well, God just doesn't heal all. Because He didn't heal my grandma. And he didn't heal so-and-so. Well, yeah, but we're not moved by what he did to someone else. It's what your faith is, because Jesus always preached according to your faith. But it's not going to happen if you don't believe this Bible by faith. In other words, we can't believe something only when we see it come to pass, because that's not faith. When I was preaching for George Strait, remember? And I go there, and George has me preach at the big event. I did it, how long? 20 plus years. And one night I drove up, and it was 3 in the morning. And I didn't want to, well, in that day, George would rent all the motel rooms. So it wasn't like you can get a motel. And I pull up just with a bumper pull trailer and a horse, and it might have been a single cab or a double cab. And I had to sleep that night before I preached in the front seat of my truck. And in those days, they're not really nice, comfortable couch seats. It had a big old hump. And so when I woke up that morning like this, I could just imagine people looking at me, "Praise God, you want to know my Jesus?" And I mean, and so one day I said, "Father," because he's my father, right? I said, "Sir, I'm tired of sleeping in the front of a truck. I work for you, sir." Now I'm saying this all by myself, and I'm not saying it to other people or anything, but I'm talking to the Lord. He's my father, right? How many of you talked just completely 100% humble and perfect to your natural dad? No, none of us. We've blown it. There's been times when we got ticked off and didn't agree with something. We just talked a little bit mean. Well, I didn't do that. I didn't cuss. I just said, "Sir, I'm working for you." I might have been ticked off a little bit, but because my back's hurting. And I said, "If I work for you, I'm pretty sure you can afford." And I reminded him of owning the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you know those. And don't be afraid to talk to the Father like this. I'm not talking with attitude. I'm just saying, "Sir, I work for you. I'm pretty sure you could afford to provide a motorhome for me. Something, at least a camper. My back, sir." He said, "Okay." Just like that. Okay. Well, it didn't come immediately. You know what I did? I sowed a seed. I found a ministry that needed faster transportation because he was doing 3 services every day, and I mean, just couldn't get to them all. Thousands were getting born again in his ministry. So I sent him some money, and I put a note: "This is for a motor home for our ministry. I'm tired of sleeping in the front of a truck." I didn't put that last part, by the way. Every day, as I would watch a motorhome drive down the road, I would go, "Thank you, Jesus, for my motorhome. Thank you." I might have done it hundreds of times a day. Hundreds. "Thank you." And it seemed like they got nicer and bigger and nicer. "Thank you, Jesus." You know, I never coveted someone else's. I just was, "Father, thank you, wow, for my motorhome." A month and 13 days later, a man and a woman walked up to me and said, "Hey, God told me to give you a motorhome." Okay, I wasn't believing for that thing when it manifested. I was believing for the thing when it wasn't there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what faith is. All of us have to believe in faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God told me a few weeks ago, we've got to start getting back to the basics, because at a lot of Spirit-filled church services, all they're looking for is the signs. All they're looking for is, "Oh, no one was healed today. It was a dead church service." Wait a minute, there were people healed. Anytime the Word of God is preached and spoken, there's healing that comes to one heart. Maybe it wasn't a leg growing or some miraculous thing, but there's some things that are happening in the kingdom of God today, and they may not be seen. But there also could be some things that you need healed in your physical body or a relationship or whatever, that God can do that as well. But we can't just be looking at a tongue given and an interpretation. We've got to get back to the basics so that we can see those demonstrations and manifestations a whole lot more. Because all of us are living by faith. And if we'll do that, I'm telling you, there'll start being a lot of miracles happen like the day of Jesus. Remember when the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He does not change. It's you and I that changes. And sometimes it's not healthy when we change and go back to the days of Babylon, or in other words, the days of before we gave our life to Jesus. Because it's tempting to go back to those days. And here I'm wanting you to be convinced that the Word of God is your source of everything. So, let's skip down to verse 6 real fast. Man, how time goes. Wow. Look at, let's go, because it starts giving you some examples of faith. Verse 4, Abel. Instead of offering his son, you know, Cain, God used these things in a mighty way where he thought it was going to be his kid, and just because of his heart, by faith, but he was just going to trust God. And we know the story on that where God said, no, save your son. And he sacrificed a sheep or whatever. And then in verse 5, it talks about Enoch, how Enoch was translated that he should not see death. There's only a couple of people that's never seen death that got translated up to heaven without death. Well, he was believing for it, and he did it by faith. In our little minds, how can we believe in that? Well, because we've got to get our faith up. Then he talked down in verse 7 about Noah building an ark by faith. Remember, look at me, y'all. It had never rained. And God told a man, build an ark, a boat. And you can imagine the people that thought he was crazy. What is he doing building that piece of wood for? Well, he was doing it by faith because he didn't see the rain first before he believed God and trusted him. And then it goes down in verse 8, talks about the faith of Abraham. Oh, thank God for Abraham's faith. Oh, Jesus. I mean, even him and his wife having a child at their elderly age. I was kidding with my wife, and she was holding a baby, and I said, well, we could have another one. I almost got killed. She said, ours is 15, and he's going to raise up and go to college one day, and then that's it. But thank God, if she would have killed me, since I'm preaching the Word of God of faith, some of you would have raised me from the dead. Hopefully. I want to go back to verse 6, though. But without faith, say that with me. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe. He that comes to God. Are y'all born again? If you're not, you're going to get born again today. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? I mean, remember, John 14 says, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him, Jesus. Are you born again? Because if you're born again, it's talking about you here. Okay, so let's read it with some understanding that this is talking about a believer. A believer. I'm not talking about the devil trying to bring doubts into your mind. I'm talking about, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Look what it says. For he that comes to God must, say it with me, believe. Say it louder. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's something that one might want to do, is start seeking God. in order for some manifestations to happen in your life. If you're believing God for something, let's start seeking Him. Let's just not just kind of throw some words out. Well, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for paying off my debts. And then never come. I mean, when you seek God, man, I mean, you stay on it and you stay on it and you stay on it. Thank you, Father, that by the blood of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ because you love me. I can do all things through Christ because you strengthen me. I'm the head and not the tail. Remember? I'm above these circumstances. I'm not underneath them. Okay, look though. Because here's something that you've got to understand. When the Bible says without, and I'm starting to close here, without faith, I looked up that word out, without. You know what it means? It literally means outside of something. Outside of something is what the word without means. So really, it could say, but without faith, without living by faith, you cannot please God. Think about that. Okay, so then when the word faith is described, then it describes it as a location because it's without. Without faith, it's impossible. Without it, so here we can then say faith then is a location, a place where you live, a place where you visit constantly. You're always at this place if it's a location and you live there, right? That's how you and I have to understand faith, is that we're constantly living. So without it, outside of it, outside of faith, it's impossible to please our God. But if you're in faith, then it's a pleasure to serve Him. Oh man. If you're in, and you're in that location, and you're in faith, then you're bringing pleasure to our God. You're pleasing Him, in other words. So why would you do anything without faith? I mean, they've got religions popped up that are Scientologists, and they want to see the science first. And I'm not against science. I'm okay with that. But not as our first source. In other words, we don't have to make something make sense just to believe it. Not in the kingdom. We just got to believe this Bible. Oh, Jesus. My gosh. Look at this real fast. So, I would call it a motivation to live in faith. Now, what is faith? It's a location. It's believing in something that you cannot see. All we're doing is trusting this Bible. We're seeing the words of it, but we still have to believe what it says is truth. And that's why the Bible says the word is truth and it makes us free. So why would you stop believing in a sovereign God? Why would you stop advocating that this country remains under God? One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I mean, we've got to keep believing this stuff right in the midst of trials and tribulations and turmoil and unbelief and doubt and bad things happening and divided countries and, I mean, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all those signs of the times. We've got to keep believing the Word of God, and we've got to do it by, say it with me, faith. Faith. That's the basic ways a believer has to live. Let me close with this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Just more proof of, just because it hasn't manifested right now, keep believing. I started speaking over my family, "We shall live and not die." I rebuke death of all kinds. Right in the midst of a pandemic that is killing a lot of people, and you know why? Because the church stopped preaching faith. We stopped preaching it. I mean, when I was on those conference calls with judges and all those ministers in this area in Austin and Round Rock and all Leander and Marble, all of them were, no, not Marble Falls because it was mainly Williamson County. But all the way to Georgetown and all those, and me and Judge Edna, we would talk, and she helped so much convince another judge that we weren't stopping having church. But it was amazed to see the fear on a lot of ministers of big churches, even. Not want to rock the boat. You know, the Bible says to, to follow the laws of the land. Well, it's not a law that we can't meet. A mandate is not a stinking law. I better not go there. Anyway, get fired up. No, it's just going to take faith. It's going to take faith to not agree with, what is it, inflation? Are you going to start participating in the economy of the world? Or are you going to trust God and stay hooked in the kingdom? It's all going to be done by faith. Amen. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. You cannot be one of those fence sitters any longer. We're past those days, y'all. You're either into the kingdom or you're out of it. Now, I'm not talking salvation. Get that out of your mind. If you're born again and you've got the helmet of salvation on, when you leave this earth, you're going to heaven. Unless you have declared and denounced Jesus and all His works, like you did denouncing Satan and all his works. The once saved, ever always saved. I'm okay with that. I guess you could, the Bible, if you really study it, you could lose your salvation, but you would have to do it that way, denouncing Jesus that you made the Lord of your life. Why would you do that? I've never seen it done, but I wouldn't say it couldn't happen. But I'm not talking about your salvation. If you leave this earth, you're going to go to heaven. The problem is you need to live by the kingdom here. You don't need to to die before it's time. And let me tell you something about death. Don't you think one minute, I don't care what preacher tells you, that we were destined to die a certain way. No, you're not. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. There's a devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Thank God we got Jesus. We get to see our loved ones in heaven. But it's amazing how someone would say, well, it was just their way to die. It was their appointed time. No. Sickness and disease should not be the way you die. That is the curse of the law. And Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, we got to start preaching this Bible as truth and stop being afraid just because we see something not happen or manifest. And we start believing that, well, that must have been God's will that so-and-so died that way. No, it isn't. There's a devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and God is good, the devil is bad. Remember that, y'all. God is good, and the devil is bad. God does not want to take a little baby that's 6 months old because he needs a new angel in heaven. It does not make sense how God would give you life and then take it away. So I'm just a little fired up cowboy. Let's start preaching this Bible. But it's going to have to be done by faith, y'all. Now, are y'all believers? I hope you are. If you're not, you're going to be right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, I want you to make Him the Lord of your life right now by praying a prayer. All of us are going to pray, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. If we're born again, you're not doing it again. You're just learning how to lead others to Jesus. So that's why I have you pray it. But as you know, and you've heard me say it many, many times, believers in here, you know you're saved. I want you to pray this prayer with the ones that may be praying it for the very first time. They're giving their lives to Jesus right now. There might be watching. They might be in this audience. Us believers are going to pray with them. That's why I have you pray it as well. So all of us, I want you to pray this prayer, but I'm actually talking to anyone at the sound of my voice that if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Please choose heaven. I can't make you though. I can't make you choose heaven. I can't make you confess with your mouth right now that Jesus is Lord. I'm just asking you to pray the prayer and mean it. So all of us are going to pray this prayer. And if you're here and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died and left this earth, I want you to know right now the truth. Jesus is the way to heaven. And if you don't receive Him, when you leave this earth, there's a place called hell. Please don't choose that. Don't choose that. So today, you're at a church that is setting before you life and death. And that's what I'm doing. But you have to choose it. Life is in Christ Jesus. Not some church again. Not a denomination. No, in Jesus, y'all. Jesus. Do you know Him? Have you invited Him into your life? If you haven't, pray this prayer right now with all of us. And I want you to pray it out loud. Don't be ashamed. I want you to say out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, thank you for being raised from the dead, because I believe it. And Jesus is now my Lord. When I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven and not hell. Thank you, Jesus, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. Your heads are bowed just in honor of God and your eyes are closed just out of respect to your neighbor. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I just want you to be bold to say, I just prayed that prayer and I gave my life to Jesus and I'm not ashamed. And that's all you're saying really to God. When you raise your hand up when I say three, you're saying just that. I'm born again, coming to heaven when I leave this earth. So I want you to do that with boldness. Don't be ashamed of our Savior. No, He's your Lord now. If you just prayed that, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? Boldness, boldness. One, two, three, go. Okay, look at me. There wasn't one person, and praise God, I thank God that all of us are born again. The anointing and probably why God has us preaching back to the basic messages like this is because that's what we all need so that we can go out there and lead people to Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Did y'all have a good time? Keep Jesus alive and real in your life. I'm here next week, y'all. I promise. Sometimes I almost don't want to say it just in case something happens. And because I told Howdy or Ricky, one of them, who preached last, I told Howdy, I said, tell him I'll be there next week. And then Jamie quickly reminded me that I'm ministering in another place at a rodeo. And so, love y'all very much. Love you. If you need anything, we're here. New people, honored to have you. Appreciate you so much. If you don't have a Bible-believing church, this could be a great one for you. Where you're planted is where you grow. Amen. I want you to plant here if God really has planted you here. If not, you need to find a good Bible-believing church where you live and plant. Because where you plant is where you grow, right? So next week, if there's anyone in here, and I'm sure there's going to be several, that believe that this is their church, and you want to join this church next week, I want you to just come down and we're going to pray over you. And you're going to join officially. We're going to make a covenant. And that's all we do with membership at this church. It's a covenant of we'll do what the Bible says. We'll pray for you. We'll help you any way we can. We'll teach you the Word of God. I didn't say we won't make mistakes. We're going to teach you the Word though. All we want you to do is just come. Amen. If God opens the door for a ministry in some way, to in any helps ministry, then let him open it. There's always something to do. I mean, there's always a need for the children's ministry. I don't like kids. Well, you need to. It's hard to be a believer in Jesus and not like kids, y'all. So let God soften your heart and start loving on those kids. You don't have to be a teacher. Amen. So if you want to join this church next week, then start praying and invite your family, and we'll just call you up. We'll pray over you, and we'll love on you. Amen. And you need to join and plant somewhere. So if you've never done that, and we haven't done it in a month or two, then I want you to do it next week. Amen. All right, stand to your feet. Glory be to God. What a wonderful time. Praise and worship was outstanding, guys. Just love it, love it, love it. Father, what an awesome God that we serve. And I realize, sir, that maybe we are different. Maybe it's not so religious that we can't be led by your Spirit. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And it's time we start believing it more than doubting it. You're a wonderful God. And the more time we spend with you, the closer we'll get to you, and we'll learn how to hear your voice. So, Father, thank you, Lord. As the Bible says, you never leave us. You never forsake us. So you're not staying here when we leave this building. You get to go with us right now. So it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to take you with us. And we love you, sir, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.